House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Glickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund. Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Gay,
excused. Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Excused.
Harvey, excused. Hunt. Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas, excused. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlett.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stebson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters. Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by Father Jason Dickey, representing the Greek Orthodox Church of Saints of Constantine and Helen.
Have mercy on us, O God, according to your great mercy. We pray to you, hear us and have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the president of our country, for the governor of Wyoming, for all in civil authority, for our armed forces on land, sea, and air, let us pray to the Lord. For the city, for every city and land, for the faithful who dwell in them, let us pray to the Lord. For favorable weather and abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord. For travelers by land, sea and air, the sick, the suffering, the captives, and for their salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For our deliverance from all tribulation, wrath, danger, and necessity, let us pray to the Lord. Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and protect us, O God, by your grace. Lord our God, whose power is inconceivable, whose glory is incomprehensible, whose mercy is immeasurable, whose love for mankind is ineffable, you, Master, in your compassion, look upon us and upon this holy house, and grant your rich mercies and compassion to us and to those who pray with us. For to you belong all glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. May God bless you. May God bless the great state of Wyoming. May God bless your endeavors, and may he have mercy on us. Thank you all.
First order of business is the Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 24th, 2013 has been read and recommends that be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
Chairman Gingery, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor?
Please.
Most of you have probably already gotten your boxes from the Jacksonville Lodging Tax Board folks. We just wanted to share those with you, primarily because we wanted to show that our community is contributing to increasing tourism, and that's our business in our county, is hospitality. It's what we do. But more importantly, I wanted to talk about something that's actually in the box. If you open that box, you'll see some coffee in there. And some of you have heard this story before, but especially some of the freshmen haven't heard this. A young lady who whose father was a baseball coach of a college south of here, she came to my community actually about the year I was a senior in high school. So she's a little bit older than me, just slightly. And she came to our community, and she started a Domino's franchise. And it was extremely popular, and she made a good showing. Then she sold that and started her own coffee shop and built a coffee shop up into one of the most popular coffee shops probably in the state. Then sold that coffee shop and started a coffee roasting company, which is one of the more famous coffee roasting companies now in the Intermountain West. It's important to recognize that entrepreneurship is alive and well in the state of Wyoming, and more importantly, alive and well in one of our members here on the floor, Representative Petroff from Jackson.
Representative Burkhart, privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Mr. Speaker. Thank you. In the North Gallery, we have with us this morning Julie Miller, who is president of the Board of Trustees for Carbon County School District 1. And would you welcome her to the House, please?
Representative Connolly, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I'd like to move that we have Representative Petroff's coffee in the break room from now on. But I'd also like to introduce to the body Janice Marshall from Albany County School District. Hi, Janice.
Representative Barlow, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege to direct your attention to the southern part of our gallery and introduce three gentlemen standing up who are administrators from our fine Campbell County School District. Number one, and the young lady sitting on their right is our Deb Hepp, a board member from Campbell County School District, number one. So, Mr. Dilley, Mr. Ayers, Dr. Ayers, and Mr. Brown.
Welcome to the House. And speaking of nice folks from the Campbell County School District, two members of our school board are doctors of the day. Dr. David Fall, M.D. from Gillette, and Dr. Joe Lawrence, D.O. from Gillette, are our doctors of the day. They're over in the Senate right now. Now, brothers and sisters, we have a special event, and they gave me this great big long introduction to read, being the Wyoming way and the person she is. She said, cut to the chase. This is a woman who needs no introduction. Please help me in welcoming United States Representative Cynthia Lummis to the chamber.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It really is an honor for me to be back in this wonderful chamber that I served in starting in 1979. I relish and recall with great honor and affection the years that I served here. And the people who continue to serve here provide our state with great service, you do us proud, and you provide a template, a guide for how the United States should conduct itself in business. I listened to some of the debates in the House of Representatives, and it just astounds me because I try to think about what Wyoming legislators would say if they heard similar remarks. Earlier this year, when we were debating funding for the Hurricane Sandy bill, which ended up totaling $50 billion, only $17 billion of which could be identified as actual emergency spending, several of us proposed an amendment that would cut discretionary federal spending across the board by 1.6% in order to offset the spending for the Hurricane Sandy relief bill. And members of the Appropriations Committee stood up and opposed our amendment, saying that a 1.6% cut in federal spending would devastate the federal budget. And I know that here on the floor of the Wyoming House of Representatives, the notion of being $16 trillion in debt and counting is a time when everyone from all parties would say it's time to cut. Well, I am pleased to say that for the first time since I've been in Congress, truly significant cuts are coming. Thus, sequester will take effect on March 1st. It will cut roughly 10% across the board in all discretionary spending. It is a remarkable thing that it's going to happen. The only way it happens is that we would have to vote to stop it rather than affirmatively vote to cut. It seems that in Washington no one ever affirmatively votes to cut. They would rather tax our children and grandchildren by extending our debt and our deficit than face the music and tax ourselves. And what's great about Wyoming people is you would never put the burden of your own spending and the obligations that we have as a state to our citizens on the next generation. And so I'm very proud of you. I cannot say enough how deeply your commitment to our state, your being here, your campaigns, your efforts to represent the people of this state means to me personally. And I want to thank you kindly. This House was a great blessing to me in going to Congress and being able to see how legislating should really happen. And at such time when your current delegation is no longer there, I hope this will continue to be the great training ground for members of our delegation in Congress, because there is no better legislative body in this country nor on the face of the earth than this one in this building. God bless your work. Thank you for the privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker. I yield back.
With that order of business of Senate files on first reading, Speaker, the budget bill. The first, the only bill for our consideration is Senate file number one.
Senate file number one from the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
Senate file number one is referred to committee number two, Appropriations. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Folks, you might have noticed a couple of amendments, Senate File 105 and Senate File 4. Both of those bills will come off the consent list. With that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 17, 26, 27, 30, 62, 67, 82, 98, and 124.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate file number 17 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to community juvenile services, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file number 26 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to radioactive waste, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file number 27 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to environmental quality, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file number 30 from the Revenue Department Committee, an act relating to special districts, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file 62 from Senator Coe, an act relating to the State Board of Education, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file number 67 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file number 82 from Senator Ross, an act relating to game and bird farms, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file number 98 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to trade practices, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate file 124 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to liens, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Senate files 17, 26, 27, 30, 62, 67, 82, 98, and 124 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall these bills pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay, excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
here, aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, excused, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlek, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Wallace, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 17, are there any changes? Wilson, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 26, are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Freeman, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 27, are there any changes? Teeters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 30, are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Pieperinen, aye to no. Summers, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 62, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Patton, aye to no. Coleman, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 12 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 67, are there any changes? Laux, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Kirkbride, aye to no. Northrup, aye. Northrup, aye to no. Kirkbride, you are an aye. Okay. Hunt, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Green, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Pieperinen, aye to no. Blickley, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Blevins, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 28 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 82, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 98, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Filer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 124, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 30, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 30 has failed to pass the House. Having received the
point of order, the vote on 30 wasn't affirmative, Mr. Speaker?
You need 31 votes to pass the House. It was 30 to 28. Majority of those elected.
That was House or Senate File 67, Mr. Speaker.
What?
Not Senate File 30.
Senate File 67. I'm sorry. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 67 has failed to pass the House. Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 17, 26, 27, 30, 62, 82, 98, and 124 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 4. There is an amendment, Representative Barlow. Oh, we got to read it.
Senate File Number 4 is introduced by Senator Geis,
an act relating to livestock be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 4. Ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, on page 2 of the engrossed bill, all this does is insert through rule and regulation. Therefore, this requires that the Livestock Board will identify. It says formally declared previously, but we want this to be done through rule and regulation because that is, in fact, the way that the producers in the state and those interested in this have a way of influencing what goes on that rule and what under what conditions. So I would ask for your favorable consideration and answer any questions.
Any other discussion on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 4? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would rise on in support of the amendment, but I would also encourage the body to take a second look at this bill before we vote for our final vote. I still have not been able to come to the conclusion as to why it's necessary.
Any further discussion on third reading amendment number 1? Representative Barlow. Questions having been called, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 4. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 4 has passed the House. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride, Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Simlek,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace, Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 16 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 4, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 4 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to search and rescue fees, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 33 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery. Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlek,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters, Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 33, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 33 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38 is introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to education, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 38 and ask for your favorable consideration. And members of the body, this has to do with the University of Wyoming Board of Trustees. And I look at this amendment as a friendly amendment. What it does, it changes the wording from allowing 2 members to sit on the board to say 20%. And what that allows us is flexibility. And then the real purpose of bringing this amendment is I just believe that when we do constitutional amendments, is what we hope to do here when we get down to our Senate file resolution, that a exact number in the Constitution does not allow for flexibility. If it just stands at 2 all the time, no flexibility. But 20%, for whatever reason, if our university, being the only university in this state, decides it needs a 21 board membership, that would allow for 3 or 4 folks to be from out of state. If they decide to still go down to 10, it would allow for 2. Of course, if they went down to the minimum of 7, it would only allow for 1. So I think it gives us a chance to maybe talk about this just a little more. But I like this amendment. I think if we're going to pass a constitutional amendment and we expect that constitutional amendment to be around for 20 or 30 years, we don't want to have to go back in and change it. So the percentage makes a lot of sense to me, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. And we have to do it in statute first here in Senate File 38. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I consider this a friendly amendment, and it may be a help. The one question I have is, what do we do about rounding? If it's 20% of 13, that would be 2.6. Does that mean 3 or 2?
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe it reads not more than 20%, so you'd always have to round down. You'd always have to round down. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 38. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 38 has failed. Senate File 38 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Lickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green. Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Northrup,
aye.
Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters, Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace, Wallace,
no.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Winters, Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 39 aye, 19 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 39, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 39 has passed. Senate File 38, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 38 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to guardianship and conservators, be it acted by the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 39, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas excused, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Senate File 39, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 39 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 68, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Blevins,
aye.
Blickrey,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird, Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green, Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen, Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 68, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 68 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File 76 is presented by Senator Hicks, an act relating to game and fish, providing an appropriation be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 76 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay, excused. Gingery. Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz. Nicholas, excused. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff. Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Winters, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 39 aye, 19 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 76, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 76 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to school facilities projects, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Here is an amendment, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this is a technical correction that was brought to us this morning from LSO. If you read the third reading amendment, it goes in and deletes what says unobligated and unexpended accounts within, and then it goes on to school capital construction account. So it deletes that and then reinserts it a sentence later where it says, this school capital construction account appropriation shall be from unobligated and unexpended amounts from previous appropriations for capital construction projects which have been completed and for which all payments from the account have been made. This is in regards to the safety study, and we want to make sure when we say unobligated, we don't want them to go into an account maybe in your community as project and say, well, that's unobligated. We actually want, our intention in the standing committee amendment was to say, whenever there's a project done, some of them come in, most of them come in under budget, and there will be an unobligated amount, and from one of those completed projects, you can use this amount for this security and safety study. The next, so that's in the first paragraph. Section 3, which is on line 18 in the amendment, is simply the budget balancer that should be in this bill. We always zero out the school CapCon account. First, the money is in the school foundation account, pay all our bills, we leave $100 million, then it flows to school CapCon, we pay the budget, the appropriated amounts, and then it flows to the permanent land holding account. Well, we want to leave what we say a positive balance. It's usually like $10 that we'll leave in this account. So that should be in there as well. I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Whoa. No, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker. I don't see this as an issue. I just would look a little more explanation on the Section 3 from the good chairman. My fund flows are, I'm not sure that I have them straight in my head right now. Do we currently take the balance, would it make more sense to take the balance out of the school foundation program instead of the holding account? I mean, that's my understanding, is that's the way it's been done previously.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The way that the school foundation actually flows from top to bottom, and if you can think of the first things first is the foundation account. And when we set up the Hathaway, really, and flowed excess revenues to fund the Hathaway, we said, this has been about 6, 7, 8 years ago, we said we'll keep a balance of $100 million for any fluctuations in the foundation account. But once we've paid the foundation account, we've left with $100 million reserve. Then everything flows to school CapCon. Then we want to pay all our bills there and then zero that account out, move it down to what's called the permanent land holding account. And that's where it sits in a reserve account. And so we want to make sure that if as we leave and we appropriate with this bill, that we leave a positive amount in that school CAPCON account. And it'll be, like I say, it won't be over $100. It's just going to be a small amount. We don't want it to go in the hole. That's the idea why you need this budget balancer. So that's it. It flows from top to bottom, if you can imagine. You've seen the charts, I'm sure. So I hope that answered your question.
For vote in on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105 passes. Senate File 105 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd. Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquibel, Filer, Freeman,
aye.
Gay, excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, excused, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 105, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 105 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, as submitted by Senator Ross, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove the requirement that a person be a resident of the state of Wyoming to serve as a trustee of the University of Wyoming, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 7-3, I move we lay Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 back for one day.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Senate File or Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 will be laid back for one day. Representative Byrd.
Mr. Speaker, is it appropriate for a privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Above me in the gallery to the west is the fifth grade class from my alma mater, Pioneer Park Elementary, and Mrs. Kensler, if they would stand up, we could welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Semlett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor?
Please.
I've got some homework I need to do here. In the North Gallery this morning, we have two trustees and the interim superintendent from Crook County School District. The trustees are Kenny Rathman and Wayne Jordan. And the interim superintendent is Jeff Carrier. And Mr. Carrier reminded me this morning that when I was a school district trustee in 1985, we had selected him to be the superintendent of Crook County 1. So I think it was a great decision. So please welcome them to the floor.
Welcome to the House. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Harvey and I were debating whose obligation this was, but in the south stand is our commissioner from Washakie County, Ron Harvey.
Representative brothers and sisters, our doctors of the day, who are also trustees in the school board in Campbell County, have also joined us in the South Stands, Dr. Dave Fall and Dr. Joe Lawrence. Is there anybody who hasn't introduced anybody yet? We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. As soon as we go into the general file, if the Appropriations Committee would join me in my office, I'd like to do that. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, general file will be as laid out on the yellow sheet, except Senate File 13. Move it down below Senate File 52. Senate File 13 goes down below Senate File 52. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Green.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 132. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 132, as submitted by Senator Driscoll, an act relating to game and fish, repealing provisions prohibiting the possession of silencers, suppressors, or automatic weapons in the game fields and forests, prohibiting the taking of wildlife with automatic weapons, providing an additional penalty for use of silencers or suppressors in the commission of specified hunting violations, providing penalties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 132, Silencers, Suppressors, and Automatic Weapons, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Blake, Campbell, and Dan Zwanzer, signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman.
Chairman Simlick, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 132 do pass, and I will turn the explanation, the bill, over to the good representative from House District 19, if we can find him. You're over here. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have about four handouts that's come out. Sorry to have so much stuff about this, but you've got one that has the black states on it. We've been working on this bill for, you know, been trying to get to it for 3 or 4 days. So dig a little deep, see if you can find that one. Then you've got one with an owl on it. So there's the owl. It's the American Silencers Association is that little symbol of the eye, or the owl. And then you have one from an association that has an antelope on it. And then just now in your box, you got this one. This is from the Wyoming Suppressor Owners. So this just came. Now, these last two, it's kind of like a deck of cards, but this one came out with, this one has a whole bunch of ideas on it. Thoughts, somebody's ideas, inferences, maybe if. So this one and this one took the opportunity to look at this and answer all the concerns that were raised by this one. So there's some information that you have just as we're going through. And If you found all those, we'll start through here. Silencers, it's entitled Silencers, Suppressors, and Automatic Weapons. And silencer is not the right word. That's kind of movie magic name. You cannot silence any gun. You cannot. You just have too much gas moving through, the bullet moving through, it's coming out. You cannot silence a gun. So I like the word suppressors, but they're used synonymously. Just tell you a little bit about this. Oh, let me tell you why we need this law. If you'll go to the one with the owl on it, and the fourth paragraph down, I believe it is, we've got a real problem with the way the statute reads in the Game and Fish and what this is. If you look at that, it says that the chief game warden stated that a suppressor may not be possessed anywhere in Wyoming where wildlife is or may be present. Now, if you'll think about that, that just about, if you take your gun out to shoot, that just means you're not going to shoot with a suppressor. Because just about anywhere you go, wildlife may be. And so this is a very necessary bill just to clear that one up. We've got another debate coming, but this bill is needed so we allow suppressors to be used and not be in the, kind of a game warden just going to give you a ticket. If you have your suppressor and you go out to shoot cans or you go out target shoot, anywhere wildlife may be. So I think there's the first thing we need to talk about this bill. The next thing, this bill is kind of restoring some rights. It's not kind of. It is restoring rights that in 1934-35, the federal government just came out and said, we will have no suppressors. And so we just went right along with that and did that. And so this bill also is, it's really about the freedom of choice. Do you want one or do you not want one? And that's the second thing. Now, the reason for a suppressor, it's like a muffler on a car. All it's going to do is collect the gas, and there's going to be some sound come out, but as it collects the gas, it's going to reduce the amount of sound, and we'll tell you how much it really reduces it. Remember, you just can't make a gun silent. You just can't do it. And so this is going to trap the gas and cool it before it exits, and that's what a suppressor is going to do. Now, if you'll get this handout, the one that has the state and the United States map with the black on it, this is the next one we want to look at and talk about how you go about getting a suppressor. How legal are they? How do you get one? And if you look down the, it tells the statistics of how many people have them. And it says in Wyoming there's only 106, and I've been told that there's a lot more than that that people have brought in legally. And we do have a manufacturing company right here in Cheyenne that's added more equipment and more employees to move this business along. But if you want to get a suppressor, go down to about the sixth bullet point, and here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get the alcohol, tobacco, firearms folks, and they're going to do a background check on you. And after they've done the background check, then it goes to, it says the CLIO guy, that's the chief law enforcement officer. In our thinking, that is just the police chief or the sheriff is also going to check you out. So you've got the federal government checking you. You've got your fingerprints, now you have the local law enforcement. And then you're going to have to wait for 4 to 6 months to get one. And then if you go to the next one, it's going to cost you $200 to get the permit to do it. And we'll talk about the cost of these. Now, this black map shows you how many states in the United States allow civilian ownership of silencers. And there are 39 of them. So that's a big number of our states, 39. And Wyoming is one of those. And you can own a suppressor right now in Wyoming. Let's go to the next page. And there's another map on there. And this is a pretty informative map. This map there shows the number of states that allow your suppressor to be used to hunt game animals with. And you see Wyoming and California. And, man, I don't know if we want to be in that category or not. But Wyoming does not, and that's the purpose of the bill. Montana is one of the states that doesn't, and they have legislation going through their legislative process right now to help that out. So what I'm telling you is 26 of the 39 states allow you to hunt with suppressors in that state. And the hearing protection is a big deal. And I think this will get in as we have an amendment coming up that we need to talk about. If you look at this chart right here on the third page of this handout, it talks about environmental noise, and it goes down and it tells you just normal conversation is this many decibels. If you're in these conditions, it's going to be this. And then you get down to the next level, and I should have put a line in there, and it didn't copy. It was in red. But the level at which sustained exposure may result in hearing loss. And you look at that, and, you know, that goes up to 115 decibels. And then you get into where pain begins. When I was teaching physiology, I said the threshold of pain was 120. They've got it as 125, but that's in the neighborhood. So once you get below this line, the pain begins. You can have short-term damage, which turns into long-term damage. And if you look at some of those, and I'd like you to write in there, a chainsaw is about 130 decibels. So a chainsaw is 130 decibels. Everybody knows chainsaws, so that's pretty pretty good sound, and I'll use that in reference as we get here a little farther. Now, the loudest sound possible is 194. And I wrote in there that a normal hunting rifle, a 308, doesn't matter if it's a 270, a 25-06, a 30-06, those calibers are in the 170 decibel range. You put a suppressor on and you're going to go from 170 to 130. Now, if you look back up there, 130 is, I just had you write down, it's a chainsaw. So that's how quiet you're going to make your gun when you shoot it. You're going to make it as quiet as a chainsaw. So the idea that you're not going to hear this is just not really true. And I found some information about a .22 handgun. And man, when I was a kid, I had one and shot it all the time out on the farm. And you notice I have my hearing aids. By the way, thank everybody that looked for my hearing aid. And I got to admit where I found it. At home, I got in a hurry, I was brushing teeth, putting it in, and I didn't put it in. So I had me and you guys looking all over. I apologize, but thank you for looking. But I'm glad I got it now so I can hear a little better. Anyway, because I shot so much, my hearing's bad. And a .22 handgun is 165 decibels. They're loud little boogers. And when you put a suppressor, I've got it down that they went into 130, and then I did some more research this weekend, just checking out all kinds of suppressors. The quietest .22 that I found is in 117. And if you look up here, that's in, you know, the not bad range, but it's still not going to be that quiet. And there are some other benefits of this. There's less recoil when you have a suppressor. So when I'm teaching my grandkids to shoot, it's not going to kick them quite so bad, which means they're not going to flinch, which means they're going to just learn to be better shots. And then when I'm sitting there with them, and we do have hearing protection on, even when you're shooting with suppressors, it's just going to reduce that noise a bit. So I think they're, well, turn over the next page and you can see a picture of what they are. I don't know if you've seen suppressors, but they're not little teeny things. I mean, they're pretty big items to be putting on your revolver, on your pistol, or on your gun. So I think there's an amendment coming that is going to be discussed. And
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 132. Fellow members, basically what my amendment is going to do is it would allow hunting with suppressors for everything but big game. And I've talked to hunters around home, and in fact, this idea was brought to me by a hunter back home, and they were concerned about hunter safety and when you're in the woods hunting big game. And I know when I hunt, and I hunt in the woods, I like to hear that loud report, that loud crack, particularly when somebody's close to let me know where they're at. I realize that this is a suppressor and not a silencer, but I do believe that there could be issues with hunter safety, and that's why I've brought this amendment. I do support their use with predators and trophy game animals. I think trophy game, you're looking at, you know, mostly wolves being hunted, mountain lions. They're usually treed when they're shot. Mostly bears are hunted over bait. So I don't see the same issues as I would with big game. So once again, I think that big game should be prohibited in this instance. Or the use of suppressors should be prohibited with respect to big game. So I would stand for any questions, and I would urge you to support my amendment. Thank you.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would stand against this amendment as presented and for the bill. Having grown up as being a hunter, going out into the wilderness and having the opportunity to chase animals and shoot at them, you know, as the good support of the good provider here presented to us, you suffer a hearing loss, and that's what concerns me the most, I think. And we're talking about deleting animals from it and hunting like that. I hunted back in the time when you went into the forest or went into the woods, you could hear a chainsaw, and you could stand on a ridge and you could hear a chainsaw going two or three ridges away. You can't do that anymore because chainsaws are not allowed into the forest. But the main thing you need to understand that this does not quiet that bullet down, does not quiet that report down as much as you think. Now, if you've never gone to a range and stood and listened to a suppressor, a gun being fired with a suppressor on it, you need to do that. I had the opportunity to go and fire a gun, but I also walked out in front and listened to the report coming out of a gunshot with a suppressor on it. And it wasn't that quiet. And I'm concerned about the young people now that would go out and try to hunt if they suffer this same type of hearing loss that we're talking about here. And so that's the ones who need it, not the ones on a range shooting at a target, not the ones who want to plink at something back home like a small target or small animals, but the ones who are shooting the big guns while they're hunting. And for that reason, I would not be in favor of this amendment, but support the bill. Thank you.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just quickly on and against the amendment. If 27 states currently allow the use of suppressors to hunt big game, it would appear to me if this is a problem and an issue that we would have heard some testimony along the way, or that there would be some testimony out there as to this being an issue in one of those other states. I've heard no testimony that is to that fact that says that this is an issue anywhere. Secondly, when you're hunting big game, you tend to use supersonic ammunition, and that breaks the sound barrier. So your suppression is still going to be at the level where it's going to be about 130, 140 decibels. When you're out shooting a can, you might use subsonic ammunition. You might use 22 ammo, and it might suppress it a little bit. But when you're shooting big game, you're going to tend to use supersonic ammunition for the accuracy. So on and against this amendment.
Representative Barlow.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. If somebody, maybe the bringer of the original bill, the sponsor of the original bill, would answer the question, I understand the sound argument, what about the ballistics? What happens to the ballistics of the projectile when a suppressor is being used? Because I think when we're talking about big game, we want the best ballistics we can possibly have because we want a clean taking of an animal. So if we're impacting the ballistics, I'd like someone to speak to that. If we're impacting the ballistics, I appreciate the sound, but the ballistics is what's really important when we're hunting big game, and I think more importantly than when it comes to predators, etc. We do not need injured wildlife. We need clean kills, one shot. Thank you.
Representative Yeagie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good point. What I've, in all the studying that I've done about these, the quieter you make them, the less accurate they are. And so you're putting more things inside that little tube. And so the normal accuracy of the 308, 170 decibels, reduced down to 130 decibels, the accuracy is not diminished. And one thing while I'm talking about that, I really don't see any reason to differentiate between hunting big game animals from varmints with a suppressor. There really isn't anything unethical about it, and one of the points that were brought up in one of the handouts, and then the next handout discussed this, is when you're shooting a gun and, you know, trying to shoot an animal, the bullets right now are going so fast that the animal is either going to be struck and dead, or, you know, hopefully dead, or they're going to be missed and the sound's going to get there. With a suppressor, it's exactly the same. There is no difference. The animal with a suppressor is not going to hear it until it's struck, and if it's missed, you're going to hear the sound and take off. So it really, the accuracy on a normal suppressor is as good as shooting. Now, when you get more and more, especially on the lesser calibers, it really is not as accurate. Another thing, you know, we're trying to make everything quieter, from airplanes to dishwashers to your appliances. And what we're trying to do is quiet the sound. And I just can't see that this is too bad a thing. And one of the other comments that, you know, I've heard in the multiple testimonies is, this is something that poachers are going to use all the time. Well, if you're a poacher, you can be using it right now because they are legal and you can't go shoot an animal with them. But if you're a poacher, you don't care what the law says. You're going to do it. So making this legal, I just don't think is going to increase the poaching. In fact, of the 27 states, I got online and tried to find an incidence where this has been a problem. I have none. I was talking to the sponsor on the other side today, and he says, you tell people that if this is a problem, he promised he'll bring a bill back and correct that problem. But most of what you're hearing is, we're worried about it could be a problem. It might be a problem, but there are no cases where suppressors in the 26 states have been used. And, you know, somebody made this statement that kind of bothered me, said, well, this is a poacher's dream, passing this. Well, I would suggest that a car going 200 miles an hour is a speeder's dream. And I don't see, you know, if you're breaking the law, somebody's going to get you. So I just can't see that we've had any problems with this. If 26 out of the 39 are there. I just can't understand why this is a problem. So I would urge your defeat of this amendment.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just speaking briefly on the amendment and the question asked two speakers ago about the ballistics involved. A suppressor does one of three things. It'll draw out the time that the combustion gases expand. Secondly, it will slow. You can get one that slows down the bullet. And thirdly, it's used. They use a baffle to break up the sound waves. My contention would be that due to the reduced recoil. And the fact that an individual using this to hunt big game is going to continue to use a supersonic ammunition. Remember that. This is going to be used for accuracy in big game. I would contend that you would have a better shot with a suppressor than without a suppressor due to the fact of the reduced recoil. And I would contend that also speaking on the fair chase issue, I've been out bow hunting, and you can shoot an arrow at a herd of elk, and they'll run up over the hill. So the fact of the matter is if an arrow can make them scatter, I would contend that a bullet, a supersonic bullet shot through a suppressing mechanism is going to do the same thing.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the concern about the hunter going out in the field and his hearing, I would suggest to you that if he's a good hunter, he's probably going to shoot once. If he's a pretty good hunter, he's going to shoot twice. He's not so good hunter, maybe more. But most of your wear and tear on your ears is on the range when you're sighting your gun in. And certainly if you want to use a suppressor there, I think that's plumb all right. And I would suggest in the field that very few shots should be fired.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to, to reaffirm that last statement. I think that I've done my share of shooting in my life, and I can't imagine that I've spent more than 2% of the times I pulled the trigger I was shooting at game, that we're talking about in this amendment. The rest of the 98% of time you're at the target range or you're shooting varmints or something like that or just plain practicing it. Targets on your own, and this bill or this amendment really doesn't affect more than probably 2 or 3% of the total amount of noise, I guess, and therefore hearing loss that you might experience. And I think the other thing that nobody has talked about is that a lot of us like the fact that you do hear other hunters. And without suppressors, experience tells you about where they are, about how far they are away. And, for me, I've got a rock I hunt elk on that I've been there for 10 years. And when I hear shooting, that reminds me it's time to wake up a little bit. And if these suppressors were used too often, I think I might have missed opportunities to harvest elk during those trips. So I think that this amendment is a good compromise, and we should then vote for the bill with it being amended. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Again, I point out that, you can hear a chainsaw, and that's about what the sound of this gun's going to be. And there are no facts that there's been problems in other states. It's based on feelings that there might be more than on facts. So I think the sound is not as valid as it should be to get away from this. And also, I go back to, it's really about the freedom of choice. And that's kind of, thank you.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to call for the ayes and the nays on the amendment.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. You can't call for the ayes and nays, according to 6-6B on Committee of the Whole.
Right. I believe Representative Zwanto is correct. We've been given that guidance earlier this session. There's no ayes and nays in the first reading. Any other discussion on the bill?
or excuse me, any other discussion on the amendment? Not question being called. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The ayes have it. Amendment has been adopted. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Semlich's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, if do so at the recommendation that bill number 132 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate file 132 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 6 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to public utilities, extending sunset date for the Office of Consumer Advocate, providing for Senate confirmation of the director, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 6, Office of Consumer Advocate Revisions, respectfully reports back to the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Zwanisser, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
Okay. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Madam Speaker Pro Tem Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 6 do pass, and I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 6 is a very easy revision bill that deals with the Public Service Commission Office of Consumer Advocate. The Office of Consumer Advocate is six people. We installed them about a decade ago. And they basically advocate on behalf of the consumer in commission proceedings before the Public Service Commission. This is the second time we've extended the sunset. It was a committee bill. We had a lot of discussion in the interim if we should just take the sunset off. By one vote, we left the sunset on, but we extended it to 2023. So for those of you still here in a decade, you'll see this bill again. The only other significant change is we are going to have the administrative head of the OCA have Senate confirmation. This person is already appointed by the governor, but from now on they'll also have to go through the Senate confirmation process. So if anybody has any questions on this one, I would be happy to answer them. Otherwise, would call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Madam Speaker Pro Tem Berger's motion that when committee the whole rise to report to do so, the recommendation that Bill Number 6 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 19 has passed Committee of the Whole. Oh, excuse me. Senate File 6. Excuse me. 6. Okay. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 19, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to special hospital districts, specifying the procedure for establishing a special hospital district and subsequent district elections, making conforming changes and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 19, engrossed Hospital District Elections, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Madam Speaker Pro Tem Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 19 do pass, and I will turn the explanation over to the good Representative McKim.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you a simple bill, Senate File Number 19. Once again, this is a simple bill that has amendment to it, and I will move that amendment and explain it at the same time I explain the bill. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I may move the amendment, Senate File 19, Committee of the Whole Number 1. This bill opens up the opportunities for hospital districts to move forward with improvements to health care services around Wyoming. And it does it in a manner that's very similar to what the rural fire districts do now. And if you'll turn to page 2, we'll just get right into the bill and see what the main point of the bill is. On page 2, if you'll notice there in line 2, it says the Board of County Commissioners may, and notice it says may, by resolution submit the question of establishing the special hospital district to the electors of a proposed district at the next general election. Now, all this really does is say that the county commissioners can form a district. They put out a resolution saying they'd like to. It goes to the electors. Electors vote on it and have that opportunity. The amendment actually comes in right there. It says that 30 days prior to this, to the notice, that the county commissioners will hold a hearing and listen to the concerns of the people. With that in mind, then, and what they know, then they have the opportunity to move forward with the proposed district being placed on the ballot and having the electors vote on it as individuals. Now, that's just a basic, easy way to describe the bill, and I'm sure nobody has any questions about it or any amendments or anything they want to talk about. And so for that reason, I'll open up for questions. Questions on the amendment first.
Question being called? Okay. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on the bill. Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do believe in the cowboy creed, the part that says talk less and say more, but I'm going to say a little more today because this is really important to us. It's a long story that I have to tell. It spans many years, but I'm going to give you the digested version of it. In the county where I reside, I was one of three elected officials in charge of the budget. One day the hospital board came to us and said our hospital had been diagnosed with a potentially fatal disease, and that without $1.4 million transfusion, it would be dead on arrival in just a few days. Since this is the only hospital for 100 miles in any direction, we knew that we had no choice but to provide the transfusion. We brought the specialists together, and through some very creative procedures, we were able to save the patient. But because of the difficulty of the procedure, our county has ended up with a long-term physical disability. The first thing we did to try to cure the problem was to order a complete management transplant. And although we were able to see some progress, we could not entirely stop the bleeding, and the long-term prognosis was not good. When we looked for the source of the bleeding, we discovered that the large artery that runs east and west through our county had some problems. We have what is fondly known sometimes as the Snow Chi Minh Trail, where they're famous for the adjusted speed limits, creative snow fences, and many accidents. A lot of the folks who are victims of those accidents end up in our hospital, many of them out of state. Some of them pay, some of them do not pay. We also have a number of people moving through the county who become ill, utilize the services of our hospital. Some pay, some do not. We also have a very large prison in the area, and we have a number of family members that relocate to be near their loved ones. Many of them use our emergency room as if it were a doctor's office. Some of them pay, most of them do not. The end result is that our hospital has a low reimbursement rate for services rendered. In seeking a cure, we attempted to form a hospital district. Because of the 25% mandate outlined by the previous speaker, we have encountered many obstructions. We also discovered that these obstructions are difficult to find, and when you do find them, sometimes they're inoperable. Our county is 60% federal land, 39% private land, 1% of our land, the ownership is unknown. Of the 1.8
million acres that are owned by people who reside in our county, in our county. More than a million acres are owned by people who reside outside the county, outside the state, and outside of the country. Of the 800,000 acres that are left, many of the landowners reside only part-time in our county, making it extremely difficult to even find them to discover if we can get that 25% mandate. We finally gave up on the hospital district idea, and we've been living with this chronic pain ever since. Here today, this body has the opportunity to help us take one step closer to the cure at no cost to the state. If we can pass this bill, our small hospitals who have struggled for so long can start the treatment that would restore them to good physical health. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm against this bill. I think the 25% number that's been talked about is vital. One of the keys to our country is it was set up as a constitutional republic to protect the rights of the minority, and this bill makes it possible to really violate private property rights, because you create a situation where you can have a majority of the people who happen to not own the land can then vote to impose to impose taxes upon those who do own the land, without any say from the landowners, and that's a scary road to go down. I think it's vital to have that protection, where at least 25% of them have to sign off on. That's nowhere near a majority, but it is enough to at least provide protection against blatant abuse of this provision. And I'm just afraid we're taking a step towards in a socialistic direction by not allowing landowners to have a say in this process when they're the ones who will be footing the bill and paying for it.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, that the last speaker I could agree with pretty much, except for this. Sometimes the landowners belong to the federal government, and sometimes the landowners are mineral owners that have no interest in paying taxes toward a hospital district, even though they utilize the hospital district. And so sometimes it's difficult to get 25% of the land that in the county, because 25% of the land in the county is owned by people who don't want to be taxed. I mean, it's corporations and the federal government. And, you know, the rest of this is those of us that do have hospital districts gladly pay for our neighbors and friends. We gladly pay for those who cannot pay. We make up the difference. It helps us to keep our hospital modern. It helps to keep it well equipped. And I think that those areas that do not have hospital districts, they do have the difficulty, particularly in the uncompensated care area. I think that this is a good idea. And one last point I'd make is, when you're talking about landowners, well, the rest of the people that live there that are not landowners are rented. And I can assure you that when the taxes go up on the land, the rent goes up as well. And so those who live on rented property also pay for that hospital district. It's just in an indirect fashion.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if you had an opportunity to talk to the people who are actually living on the land and are the caretakers of the land, they would totally agree that they utilize the services of our hospital, and it's very necessary. The problem is this, and I appreciate what the previous speakers have said, but this does not take away any landowners' rights. What it does, instead of us having to drive or fly to Texas or wherever to find the landowners to try to get them to sign off on it, it makes the landowners come to us at a public meeting with adequate notice. That the amendment that you just passed provides for that adequate notice for them to send them to come to the table, or send a representative to visit with us about that. So instead of us having to go track them down, they have better resources than we do. They can come to the county commissioner's meeting, and if they have a problem with it, that's the place to express their problems with it. And it, in my mind, does not take away their opportunity. Then it's still up to the county commissioners to weigh the pluses and minuses before they make the decision to decide to pass or not pass this. And it's a health issue just as the safety issue for fire districts, patterned after the fire districts. So I urge your support of the bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really didn't want to speak on this bill, but I think it's important to note that these district boundaries can be drawn in such a way to kick out the large industrial or individuals or companies. So if you have a county that maybe has one or two small communities in it and a lot of oil and gas development, the boundary for a district can be drawn such to exclude that oil and gas development and that tax base so that you can more easily get your 25% and then take it to a vote. The issue I have with this bill is that if it goes through, now what you're going to do is have a district that is larger than where the population mass is centered, and they're going to be in favor of it because the tax is going to be paid by somebody else. And I just have a difficult time with that. And I'm going to vote no against this bill.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Likewise, I had no intentions of speaking on and against or for this measure, but I'm a little bit prompted to share a perspective that when our Constitution was drafted, that a free man was described as a white male landowner. Abigail objected. Thank goodness for Abigail.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Coming from a county that desperately needs a hospital district, I think there are some things, though, we need to really look at in this bill. While there are a couple things added on page 2, I'd ask you to look at page 1 as to what is deleted. What's deleted is the entire requirement on Special District Elections Act. The entire act is deleted by what is struck out in this bill. The requirement that 25% of the landowners approve it before it goes on the ballot. 25 isn't many. That's 15 people in this body. I think all of us, sometimes we have bills that we'd love it if just 15 people had to approve it before we could get it through. Is one thing. If you go over to page 2, at number 1, it says Board of County Commissioners may, by resolution, submit the question of establishing the special hospital district to the electors. By merely saying may, it implies they also may not. So what you have is the ability of the county commissioners to drop an established process for these elections, do it by will and fiat of themselves, and then maybe or maybe not submit it to the electorate for approval. If they don't, they can pretty much do what they want. The initial bill, the initial act, Special District Elections Act, you can find it, by the way, at 2229101. The idea was is it took a very small number of people to put any of these on the ballot, and that's all they're talking about is putting it on the ballot. Then you vote on whether you want it or not, and it's 50% plus one vote carries. The other thing this bill does is if you want to remove the hospital district, the requirement is that you go back to the Special Districts Election Act and follow all of the procedures in there. So setting it up, a group gets to drop all of the requirements, but to remove it, you have to put them back in place and follow them. So I'd exercise extreme caution with this bill and what it does and the precedent it sets. However, I do come from a county that really needs a hospital district. They tried to get one put in, and they couldn't because they couldn't get the 25%. And then, however, I really would feel we'd want to stay with existing law on this. And a 25% hurdle is not a large hurdle.
Madam Speaker, Pro Tem Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I stand on in for Senate File 19. Well, we had good testimony in corporations, and a couple of things I think you need to remember is that this section has been reworded, starting on line 11, that it's may be and can be created, and I think that that's what's important for our county commissioners and for our citizens as they move forward considering if they need to revitalize or extend the life of their hospital. What's really critical here is that you can have as many large corporations coming into your community or region, but if you do not have medical access, you are not, in my view, a good neighbor or a good community in being able to offer those services to people who are producing the revenues from our natural resources that is critical for a vital economy in Wyoming. So many of us live in small communities. This is a challenge. Some of the folks that are the proponents of this bill, I've been to their communities many times. I've actually been in a couple of their hospitals for family issues. And I know how tough it is for them to keep their doors open. And in particular, if you look at that region in the Southwest, that is critical. If the people of this county or this community so choose to develop a petition and then take it out for a vote, I think that that is their right as a citizen of that community. So I would ask you to vote for this.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, this is a simple bill that places in the hands of the county commissioners the opportunity to form a hospital district within their county. Now, the existing language now says that 25% of the people that own over 25% of the assessed valuations has to sign a petition. Well, if that happens to be the federal government or one large corporation, say, owns 80%, and they're not even in town or in county or in state or out of state or out of country, very difficult to obtain those signatures and move forward with that type of hospital district. This bill simply says we will take a hospital district and place it on the ballot. And we have that as county commissioners, we can have that responsibility and that duty to do so. The amendment simply puts in there that they will hold hearings and listen to the people, whether they be small landowners or large landowners. They have the opportunity to come for the county commissioners and express their concerns, their support, or their opposition to that particular hospital district. That is the will of the people. This bill simply puts it out there and says, we're going to give you all an equal shot at it. If you're a small county, small district, you can improve yourself. If you don't have one, you have an opportunity to have one. And I kind of used my own hospital district as a good example for this. Now, we live in an area that has one large employer, but guess what? It's not even in state. It's across the border. They mine phosphate, ship it out, slurry it across the mountain, employ a lot of our people in our valley. They're not in our hospital district. But guess what? They're great supporters. They're very generous. They know they impact our community. So in our own particular little valley, for example, our hospital management company decided to withdraw their support from us. And so our local hospital board, district board, came together and through a series of meetings hired a new hospital manager, proceeded with the construction of a new rural medical center, complete with two state-of-the-art surgical suites. Because of construction, the number of general practitioners or family practitioners went from 3 to 8 in our valley, allowing for 24/7 emergency medical coverage. Two orthopedic surgeons and an orthopedic surgeon PA now base their practice out of this new medical center. Two general surgeons base their practices out of the medical center. A pulmonologist left his practice in another state, moved into our valley, opened his practice, and a sleep lab as well. Additionally, some half a dozen visiting specialists work through the medical center on a regular basis. Recently, the hospital purchased physical therapy services for our hospital. And finally, construction for our new $8 million day surgery center starts in April as an addition to the medical center. And all of this came about because of our hospital district. Please allow this bill to move through. It will improve the health care in Wyoming, as well as the health care in small districts, in small areas, small counties, and communities. Thank you.
Representative Paxton.
Well, at the risk of prolonging the discussion here, in our county, 80% of the taxes are paid by from off federal lands. Very, very few family-owned operations on the agricultural side of it left. Almost entirely corporately owned on the ranch side of things. And we have here a handful of people that are holding the rest of the county hostage. I don't think there's anything in this bill that says that a county commission can decide on their own that they should have a hospital district and go ahead and form the hospital district. They make the decision to put it on the ballot. Then the people decide whether or not they want the hospital district. So on and for the bill.
Chairman Sumlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have listen to the debate, and I understand the problem why the bill came up and why we would, be asked to consider it. But I am confused about some of the testimony and the last speaker talked about, and I guess I need some clarification on that. When we talk about where we have large landowners, in the district that are federal, we used to receive payment in lieu of taxes, PELT payments, because they didn't pay property taxes. So what is the – how can government land and be a part of this discussion? I guess I just don't understand that. I should, but I don't understand that. So if someone could help me answer that, it would help understand why – the issue with landowners, with private landowners, and some people already spoke to that, why they might want to oppose this, and I can kind of understand that, but when the issue of public land is involved in this discussion, I guess I'm just confused because, they don't contribute to the tax base anyway, so I guess I just need some clarification on that.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one brief question, and that's on Romanet 3 on page 2, where it says, any special election for a special hospital district created under this subsection shall be held as provided in the Special District Elections Act in 94. I guess my question is, what are those likely elections consist of? I suppose one would be voting for an election of boards of directors or something like that, or it would include like dissolution of a district or the addition of an extra mill or what scope or what range of different questions could be covered on any subsequent election that they refer to in Romanet 3.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, I do believe that the good chairman has brought up when he's talking about the additional elections, I believe that does deal with the election of the boards, maybe even the setting of a mill levy and so forth like that. I'm not really sure of all the different elections or the scenarios that could lead to these elections on that. It's also brought up about the federal government and in my understanding, the federal government would not be part of that we're talking about. We're talking about large corporations as far as the percentage owned. But if you do have a district with a large federal presence there, That's a lot of your land mass that's diverted someplace else that cannot be owned by private individuals or either corporations.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, fellow members, I'm not either on or against this bill at this time, but there was a question asked about property tax and the federal land, and in my county, most of our tax revenue is generated from public land that is not taxable, but the property that those companies own is taxable. So the property I'm talking about is all the facilities that go into the oil and gas industry is taxable. So 90-some percent of our county's property tax is generated from large oil and gas companies that is from public lands. They use the public lands to generate the oil and gas, but the property is, rigs and all the facilities and stuff that go with it. So that kind of clarifies some of that. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to read for the body what 2229105A says, and this is how you form the district. A petition to form a special district shall be signed by not less than 25% of the landowners owning at least 25% of the assessed valuation of property within the area opposed to establish a special district. And it goes on. That assessed value is not hard to find, and it's not hard to find the landowners. You go down to the county clerk's office and you find out who the taxpayers are. I offered to help a group set up a hospital district in my county. I was handed a sheet and said, "Do you know any of these big companies?" And I said, "I know all of them and I know the contacts." This is not, it's not a real effort. They told me to stop, that they had decided not to form a hospital district at that time. But I had the contacts, and whether the company was domiciled in Wyoming or some other state, I knew who to contact and I knew where to go and get the signatures. They had the authority to sign for their companies to agree to put it on the ballot, and that's all that does, is puts it on the ballot and lets the voters decide. In some counties, you have one or two companies with the assessed value that is going to pay the majority of these taxes in the majority of the hospital district. It's not hard to find them. Just go find out, look at the tax rolls, and go contact them. I contacted most of them by phone, and they were all very receptive to hearing what had to be said about the district. So, thank you.
Representative Paxton.
Mr. Chairman, there was a question asked earlier about the PILT money, payment in lieu of taxes, and that PILT money is a real iffy thing. I think every state in the United States that receives that should send a thank you letter to the state of Wyoming, because they took our AML funds last year, and that's what paid the payment in lieu of taxes. And it's an iffy thing. I'm not sure that we'll get that payment next year even. So thank you, Wyoming, for paying the payment in lieu of taxes for everybody.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just closing up, just remind you that we're asking that the people be allowed to vote for their own hospital district, regardless whether they own 1 million acres, or own 1,000 acres, or own 100 acres, or own 1 acre. Very important that each individual person has a right to vote. That's what we're about. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will no further questions. I'll call for the questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so at the recommendation that Bill Number 19 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 19 has passed Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
Have any committee announcements? Speaker Love now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll have a committee chairman meeting Tuesday, February 12th, 2013, upon adjournment in room 302. Rules Committee Number 12 will meet on Thursday, February 14th, upon adjournment in room 302 to consider Senate File 61, the revisers bill.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment today in room H17, where we will hear Senate File 147, Stroke and Heart Attack Treatment Centers, and we will finish up Senate File 83, Medicaid Fraud Recovery.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet now in room H8 to take up Senate File 9, Private Transfer Fee, Senate File 15, Protective Services Investigation, Senate File 146, Termination of Parental Rights.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock in room 302, where we'll hear a report on hybrid energy systems, and it's to the Joint House and Senate Minerals Committee, and the studies were performed are initiated by and worked with the Wyoming Business Council, University of Wyoming, and Idaho National Laboratories. Come if you can.
Vice Chairman Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet upon noon recess today in room H18 to hear Senate File 86, Engrossed County Offices, Business Days, and Senate File 99, Water and Sewer Districts, Electors.
All those in favor of Majority Floor Leader Brown's motion to rise and sit again at 2 o'clock, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No?
No.
Committee of the Whole will sit again at 2 o'clock.